And don't forget Dr. Larry Hutton. Praise God, Reverend Larry Hutton will be with us next Sunday morning. And it will be a good service. You know that. Praise God. It's always a good service with Larry. And so we look forward to that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the Word of God? Yes. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your Word. Thank you for the written Word that unveils and unfolds the living Word to us. We open up our hearts to receive, to understand, so that we might most importantly go out and be doers of the Word we hear. So, Holy Spirit, we realize that none of this or none of what I'm praying is possible apart from you. So we rely on you. We trust in you for utterance. We trust in you for the ability to hear and receive the Word, to make it light and revelation to our spirits. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise and glory for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12, please. Verses, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Yeah, Hebrews 12. If you don't know, it was Brother Mac, actually. I'm thinking about that Mac Gober that got people to saying, yay, you know, get excited about the Word. You know, Brother Hagin used to say, you know who it works for? It works for those that are thrilled with it, that are excited about it. That's who it works for. And you understand, if you amplify that, what he was saying. And so Brother Mac said, you know, when we teach our people, when we announce the first scripture, all our people say, yay, we're excited. We're fixing to hear the Word. Glory to God. Yes, amen. Hebrews 12, 1. Glory to God. Therefore, you missed an opportunity. Hebrews 12, 1. You're sharp as a tack. Hebrews 12, 1. 1 through 3. You got it up there? Yeah. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, glory to God, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance. Notice that. Run with endurance the race, that is our spiritual race, whatever it is God's called us to do, you to do, me to do. Run with endurance the spiritual race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. Verse 2 said, looking unto Jesus. Now it says, for consider him. Who endured, there's that word endured again, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Amen. You know, the devil would like, through the cares of this life, amen, because of the tests and trials of this life that we all face from time to time, because of the pressures of this life and the things you have to deal with, and because of the constant barrage of negative forces we see at work in the world. I mean, all that stuff can begin to weigh on you at times. But the devil, through all those different things, would like us for us to become weary and discouraged. Amen. But we don't want to do this. This passage says we are to run our race with endurance. Amen. And then he talks again about endurance. But endurance means to continue, to carry on. In other words, you don't quit. You don't give up. You don't become discouraged. You don't grow weary. You don't stop trusting God. Amen. You don't quit living for God or back off because of difficulties and hardships, but you endure. Everybody say endurance. Endurance. So we are to run our particular spiritual race. Everybody is called to grow up into Christ and become Christ-like and to obey the Great Commission. We're all called to that. And everybody has a specific part to play in the body of Christ, whatever that is. So we're called to run our particular spiritual race and do what God has called us to do, not only for our sakes, but for the sakes of others. Amen. And then the scripture says we are to consider Jesus, lest we become weary and discouraged. Consider him, lest you become weary and discouraged. Many translations say, so that you won't become discouraged, or so that you won't give up. Some translations say, consider Jesus so that you won't stop trying. The Passion Translation says, so that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures. The UBS Greek Word Study says, do not let yourselves become discouraged and come to a place where you feel like giving up, or you feel like come to a place where you stop trusting God. So when it comes to walking with God, growing up into Christ, becoming Christ-like, fulfilling the particular call of God in our lives, and when it comes to dealing with the cares of this life, the pressures of this life, the distraction of this life, and when it comes to believing and standing on God's word, which is, of course, is always important to us, because that's the way we obtain the promises, when we believe and stand on the word of God, despite what our physical senses tell us, or our minds tell us, or the circumstances tell us. When we believe and stand on the word of God, that's the way to victory. Can you say amen? Amen. Even though your mind screams at you that it's not so, that's the way to victory. So when we do, so the key to work out your own salvation, to deal with the pressures of life, to stay in faith, and when it comes to all these things, we are to persevere, we are to endure, we are not to give up, and we are not to grow weary and become discouraged and quit trusting God or stop trying. Can you say amen? Amen. And see, and then this passage gives us a great key, and this is where we're going. This passage gives us a great key to being able to do that when it says in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus. And then in verse number 3, when it says, for consider him. Verse 2 again, looking unto Jesus. It's interesting. The Greek word translated looking here means to turn your attentions, turn your eyes or attention from certain things, off of certain things, and fix them on something else. So looking unto Jesus is not just looking unto Jesus. Actually, in the Greek, the very word, very clear, very strong, means turn your attention off of certain things and turn them on to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to look unto Him. Amen. We are not to look away. We are not to look or listen to anything that contradicts or keeps our attention off of Jesus. And the way we look at Jesus, He's not here with us physically, so the way we look at Jesus is we look into the Word. I know Him by the Word. He is the Word. He is the living Word. And we have the written Word to explain and unfold and unveil the living Word to us. Amen. So we are to turn away from anything that would distract us in order to fix our attention and focus on Jesus or focus on the Word. Glory to God. So the Amplified Bible translates this way. It says, look away from, instead of just saying looking unto Jesus, look away from all that would distract and focus. I like that word focus. Look away from all that would distract and focus your eyes on Jesus. It's interesting that I discovered that the German Bible translates this, instead of saying looking unto Jesus, it says off looking unto Jesus. Off looking unto Jesus. What that means is simply this: look away from, look off from anything that's not in line with Jesus, anything that contradicts Jesus, anything that contradicts His Word, anything that doesn't agree with His Word, anything that denies His, I don't care who said it, I don't care what preacher said it, I don't care what church said it, I don't care what politician said it, I don't care how they twist the Scriptures, but we are to look away from anything that contradicts or denies or disagrees with the Word of God. Amen. Look off from that. Refuse to look at or consider anything but what the truth says. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and my word is the truth. Glory to God. There are not many truths. There's only one truth, the word of God. So a great key to endurance is to not growing weary. Amen. The way to endure, the way to not grow weary, the way to not become discouraged, the way to not quit trying, the way to stay in faith and keep trusting God in life, in your faith walk, in fulfilling the plan of God for your life, is to refuse to look at, just absolutely refuse to look at or consider anything other than what Jesus says. I know in life we have always been leery of somebody that was trying to brainwash us, and so am I. But when it comes to the Word of God, you should brainwash yourself with the Word. Your brain needs washing, believe me. Because it's believed things that's not true. Half of them had heard from church. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So we are not to look at anything that contradicts or denies or disagrees with what the Bible says. You know, to do that is to look God in the face and say, you're wrong. What you said is wrong. What you said is not right. What you said doesn't take this into consideration or doesn't take modern philosophies or modern science. No, nobody wants to do that. But it's not just turning away from certain things. That in and of itself won't get the job done. You have to turn your attention on to what the Word of God says. Amen. Glory to God. Now, in the natural, our bodies have eyelids. Amen. And we don't think much about our eyelids, but our eyelids protect something that's very, very valuable and precious, our eyesight. One of the most valuable body parts we have. And eyelids are, of course, a thin fold of skin that protect our eyes. We protect our eyes from debris. They protect our eye. We close our eyes and, you know, from foreign objects, from debris, from exposure to extreme heat and light. So what do? You shut your eyes or close your eyelids in reality. Amen. And so that's important. Isn't that right? Can you say amen? And of course, when we talk about looking at something with our eyes, that means something, you know, symbolically or metaphorically. Or, you know, when we talk about paying attention to something or keep your eye on the ball. What does that mean? We mean give your attention to something. Pay attention to something. Stare at something. Focus your attention on something. When we talk about opening our eyes, we're talking about really seeing and getting a revelation of the truth. And so what we look at and what our eyes represent, what they do is they represent what we give our attention to, what we pay attention to, or to what we set our thoughts on. Amen. Glory to God. And what we continually look at, you know this, but what we continually look at, what do we dwell on, what do we meditate on, what we fix our attention on, will get into our hearts for good or evil, for faith or for doubt, for encouragement or for discouragement, for blessing or cursing. So it's important that we fix our eyes, our attention, our thoughts on the right thing. So we must learn to close our eyes. Amen. We must learn to close our spiritual eyelids. Some people have never learned to do that. I said we should learn to close our spiritual eyes, or in other words, close our spiritual eyelids to anything that is not the truth, to anything that is harmful to our lives and harmful to our well-being, and anything that's not in line to the truth is harmful to you, is harmful to your family, is harmful to your children, is harmful to your relationships, is harmful to your finances. Anything that's not in line with the truth, close your spiritual eyes to those things. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we should close our spiritual eyelids to anything, everybody say anything, that contradicts the Word of God. And we should focus, not just close our eyelids to the wrong things, but we should focus our eyes and attention on the truths of Scripture. That's how you stay out of fear. That's how you stay out of discouragement. That's how you stay in faith. That's how you stay encouraged. And that's how we guard our hearts, as Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues, or one translation say the actions of your life. What gets in your well, what gets in your spring, what gets in your heart is going to come out. And so right before that, he says in Proverbs 4, he says, my son, attend to my words. The implication is don't listen to any other words. My son, give attention, pay special attention, give close attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Amen. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and medicine to all their flesh. And then right after that is where he says, guard and protect your heart. Not just guard and protect it, but guard and protect it with all diligence. And you're going to do this by doing exactly what we're talking about. Close your spiritual eyes to anything that's not the truth, and open your eyes and stare at and focus on the truth of God's Word. Ooh, can you say amen? Now let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, are you with me so far? Yes. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 18. So let's read this. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Therefore we do not lose heart. Amen. Well, if you lose heart, you get discouraged. You become gloomy. You become down. You become depressed. You grow weary. You're ready to quit. You waver in your faith. That's what we're talking about. Don't waver in your faith. Don't become discouraged. Don't get sad. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, the trouble, light affliction, which is but for a moment, the things we face in this life, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now watch this. Let's do this. He says, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, we do not waver, we do not grow weary, we do not become discouraged. And then the rest of verse 16 and all of verse 17 are a parenthetical thought. That means it's a side thought, amen, a side thought of the original thought. It's like you're talking to somebody and you go, by the way, and then you start talking about, then you go back to what you were talking about. So because that's a side thought or a parenthetical thought, let's put, therefore we do not lose heart. He picks up with that exact theme in verse number 18. So let's read the first line of verse 16 and put it with verse 18, because that's the main point. He says, therefore we do not lose heart while... Most translations say because. Some translations say since. So let's read it that way. Therefore, we do not lose heart because we do not look at the things which are seen. If you look at the things which are seen and that's all you look at, you may become discouraged and you may grow weary and you might quit. But we do not lose heart. We don't become discouraged. We're not ready to quit because we are not looking at the things which are seen. The things which are seen are the things that are revealed to us through our five physical senses. They reveal to us this natural world. But how many of you know we don't live in just a natural world? We are spiritual beings, and there is a spiritual realm just like there is a natural realm. And you see, it's really not people want to be wise and people want to be intelligent and people want to be reasoned. But if you don't know what the spiritual realm is saying, if you don't know its reality and its truth, and the only thing you know is what the natural world tells you, then you really can't make an intelligent, wise, and reasoned decision, because you only have half the facts. Amen. And you see, so we're not looking at the things which are seen. Glory to God. They don't tell the whole story. Glory to God. We do not lose heart because, or since, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So spiritual truths and spiritual realities always trump natural facts. In other words, if the natural world says something and God says something and they contradict, who should you go with? Amen. Why? Because you're seeing the whole story. And it's just this simple, you know, the prophet's servant said, you know, because they were surrounded, they came to try to capture him because he was telling them the enemy's plans, telling Israel the enemy's plans. So they came to try to capture him and the servant went out there, you know, and he looked up and he saw an entire army had come to arrest two men, an entire army, you know. And so he went in and he goes, alas, that's like, oh, my God. You know, we're in trouble. He said, alas, my master. And his master said, there's more with us than there be with them. And he said, no, I can see there's a whole army. What do you mean there's more with us? And he said, and the prophet said, Lord, open up his spiritual eyes because there is a spiritual realm. And so when he saw into the realm of the spirit, he saw surrounding that natural army was a heavenly host, which was a billion, million, million times stronger and more powerful than that natural host. And so the truth was, reality was, yes, we are not in danger. There's more with us than there be with them. But if you only look in the natural, and that's all you see, and you don't look into the... And how do we know about the... What reveals the spiritual word, the realm to us? The Word of God. You can't see God. You can't see Jesus. You can't see the angels. But we know they exist. Because the Word of God tells us that they exist. I mean, we know it in our hearts, but we know it because of what the Word says. You don't know what spiritual truth is until it's revealed to you by the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God reveals spiritual truth to us. Natural truth is revealed to us through our physical senses. And when you see what spiritual truth says and natural truth both say, then you can make an intelligent decision. But if you only look in the natural and hear what the doctor says and hear what the banker says and look at your child and the way they're acting like a devil, you know, and on and on and on, then you might become discouraged and you might get weary. But when you look into the truth of God's Word and consider what He says and put the two together, then you'll be strong in faith and you'll be encouraged and you won't quit trying and you won't give up, praise God. Amen. Glory to God. So we do not, while we do not look at the things which are seen, the things that are revealed to us by our five physical senses, but to the things which are not seen. We look into the spiritual realm. We look into the Word of God. We find out what God has to say about it. The doctor says you have cancer, but the Word of God says by His stripes you are healed. For the things which are seen are temporary. Let me give you another word. If something's temporary, it means it's subject to change. But the things which are not seen, God and spiritual realities and truth, they are eternal. They never change. I'm going to go with that never changes, aren't you? Every time, praise God. So spiritual truths and spiritual realities always trump natural facts and spiritual truths when believed. Everybody say, when believed. Spiritual, now you can't believe them if you don't know what they are. And you won't believe them even if you know what they are unless you turn your attention off the natural truths and consider Jesus. Consider what His Word says and focus your attention on that. The spiritual truths, when believed, everybody say, when believed. Change natural facts. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Amen. I said, amen. And so when we see the whole picture, not just what our senses and minds tell us, then we can see what real truth is. So we do not need to lose heart. That's what he's saying here. He said, we don't lose heart because we're not looking at the things which are seen. We're looking at the things that which are not seen, the things which are revealed to us through the Word of God by the Spirit. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal, and they will never change. So the passage translation right here, 2 Corinthians 4, 16, 18, just putting verse 16 and 18 together, says it this way. So no wonder we don't give up, because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal. To say it another way, we do not focus our attention on the problem. We focus our attention on what God's Word says. That's the key to victory. Glory to God. Now let me show you a great, great example of this. Amen. From Mark chapter 5. And we'll close with this morning. Mark chapter 5. Hallelujah. I love Mark chapter 5. It tells us about Jairus and it tells us about the woman with the issue of blood. But in Mark chapter 5, verse number 21, Mark 5, 21 through 24. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Well, Jairus believed and said that if Jesus would come and lay hands on his daughter, that she would be healed. He believed that. And verse 24 says, so Jesus went with him. Now just think a little bit and amplify that. In other words, Jesus, it doesn't say it here, but Jesus said, yeah, I'll come with you. In other words, it's my will to come with you and heal your little daughter. I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to heal your daughter. So he has the Word of God. You cannot stand on something if it's not the Word of God. You know, sometimes people try to do that. But once you've got the Word of God, you can hold on to it like a dog with a bone. And he had the Word of God. He believed that if Jesus would come and lay hands on his little daughter, she would be healed. And he begged him to come. And Jesus said, I'm coming. I will come. I will come to your house. I will lay hands on her and she will be healed. Amen? Praise God. Now, you know, the story is interrupted with a woman with the issue of blood, which is so powerful. But let's skip over that for our point this morning, and look at verse number 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Everybody say dead. Why trouble the teacher any longer? Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, your daughter is dead, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Fear not, only believe. So verse 36 again, it says, Jesus heard what was said. Well, years ago, I was reading this, you know, in the Amplified Bible, and I noticed that verse number 6 said, instead of where it said Jesus heard what was said, the Amplified Bible says, overhearing but ignoring what was said. Jesus heard what was said. Amplified Bible says, overhearing but ignoring what was said. That's interesting. Overhearing but ignoring what was said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, only keep on believing. And actually, I discovered that that's accurate with the Greek when he says, fear not, only believe, better translated, keep on believing. You believed. I told you I was coming. Nothing's changed. Yeah, something changed. She does. Nothing has changed. If you'll keep believing. Yeah, but the deadline passed. Nothing has changed. If you'll keep on believing. Yeah, but the bank said no. Nothing has changed. If you'll keep on believing. If you have the Word of God to stand on. Amen. So it says, the Amplified Bible said, overhearing but ignoring. So I begin to, you know, look at that, look at other translations. The Living Bible says, Jesus ignored their comments. Does that sound like off-looking to you? Not paying attention to what you've heard, but focusing your attention on something else? And so the New International Bible said, instead of saying, you know, the King James or New King James, Jesus hearing the word that was spoken, the New International Version and many others say, ignoring what they said. Overhearing but ignoring. Jesus ignored their comments. Another translation said, he paid no attention to what they said. That's good advice right there if you don't get anything else. There's some people you need to pay no attention to. About 99% of the news stories, pay no attention to. Well, so then that's all interesting. So I'll begin to look that word up in the Greek. And the word heard there meant, because that's what it said, Jesus heard. The word heard means in the Greek to ignore and pay no attention to and refuse to listen to. So they came and said, your daughter is dead. Immediately he grabbed him, so to speak. Look at me, eyes on me. Ignore what they said. Refuse to listen to what they said. Yeah, but she's dead. You came to me. I told you I would come. I'm coming. Don't listen to them. Focus. Look at me. Look at me. Keep on believing. Don't let fear get a hold of you. Stay out of fear. And keep on believing. Wow. Amen. Because if you listen to what they say, your heart's going to melt, and you're going to become discouraged, and you're going to be depressed, and you're going to become sad, and you're going to lose it, and you're going to keep trusting. So the Passion Translation says, Jesus refused to listen to what they were told. Somebody said, at times there must be a holy deafness to the words of others. At times there must be a holy deafness to the words of others. At times, there must be a holy deafness to anything that contradicts God's word and says it's not true. At times, we must close our spiritual eyes or our spiritual eyelids to everything except God's word in order to not waver and not doubt and not become discouraged and not give up and quit trusting God. Jesus knew her dying didn't change a thing. But he needed Jairus to stay in faith. Amen. And he needed him to stay out of fear. So these people came and said to Jesus, you know, it's over, it's over. Well, who said it's over? Just because the devil says it's over, just because the devil says your dream is over doesn't mean it's over. Just because the devil says your family is over doesn't mean it's over. Just because the devil says you can't be free and it's over doesn't mean it's true. They said it's over. It's final. It's finished. That's it. She's dead. It's finished. Don't trouble him anymore. He ignored what was said. Amen. And he said, only believe. Keep on believing. Glory to God. Just keep your focus on me. Keep your focus on the fact that I told you I would come. If he hadn't told her, it'd be a different thing. But he said, I'll let you know that I would come and I would heal her. Just keep focused on that and keep on believing. I came. You believe that. Now, don't be moved off that. Don't look at anything else. And then it says this. Let's read on. Watch this. Very interesting. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And he came in and said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, see, sometimes you have to put everybody all outside to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You know, Oral Roberts, when he was asked by loving, sweet, wonderful people to come pray for their relative that was, you know, because you walk in there and they're on their deathbed and there's tubes everywhere and they're wailing and they're crying and they're just hoping you can do something and so forth, that Oral Roberts would put them all outside and he refused to pray for the person and they all left the room. Because you can't sit there hearing all that and listening to all that and not be affected by that. You have to get your eyes off the problem and keep them on Jesus. And of course, he raised her from the dead. You know the story. But here's what's interesting. In Luke's gospel, because this is in Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel, I believe. But in Luke's gospel, when they came to him and said, she is dead. Listen carefully now. You know, they came to him and said, don't trouble the master, she's dead. Everybody say dead. And then when Jesus came to them and said, the child is not dead. Everybody say dead. The word Jesus used, dead, is different than the word dead when they came to him. That's interesting, isn't it? And Miss Margaret is going to come up here and explain that to you. Interesting. She's dead. Jesus said, she's not dead. Two different Greek words.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to read to you out of Luke 8, in verse 49, when it said, you know, while they yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying, your daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. And, you know, these, I like grammar and English and tenses. You know, it means something to me. And so in looking this up, you know, when Jesus came down there and said, she's not dead, you know, when I would read this passage, I would kind of have a little bit of a trouble because, you know, we've always been taught that, you know, we're not denying the circumstances. We're not saying that something's not real that's real. You know, you can't go around going, oh, my arm's not broke, my arm's not broke, my arm, you know, and we've been kind of taught that. So when Jesus was saying she's not dead, I'm like, well, how does that all fit, you know? So I was meditating on these things and reading the scripture and looking up these words, and I was sharing it with Mark. But, you know, yes, when they said your daughter is dead, that's in the perfect tense. It's a verb, which I would think of it as an adjective, but in the Greek it's a verb. She is dead, and it's in the perfect tense. And the perfect tense of a verb means that it is a completed, finished action.
Done deal.
It's done. Finished. You know, like if you had said something was perfected. You've got it perfect. That means it's all done, right? So that's the tense. She is dead. It's a done deal. Okay? So then when they come on down, of course, Jesus tells him, you know, fear not, only believe. So obviously Jairus, you know, he had the faith of Jairus to work with. I mean, Jairus left his dying daughter on her deathbed, left that room, and went to Jesus. I mean, that took something. You know, who's going to do that? Because he needed help, and he believed Jesus would do it. So he told him, you know, fear not, only believe. And in verse 51, it said, he came into the house. He suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the mother and father, and all wept and bewailed. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleeping. And the word dead in this sentence is a different word. The word dead that they use is it's thanesco, and that's the perfect tense. But he used a compound word, and it was apothanesco. And it is in the imperfect tense. What does that mean? That means it's not perfected. The imperfect tense is a continuing tense. So what he was saying to them is, no, she's not dead. It's not over. It's not finished. This is not the end. It's got a continuous motion to it, which I love that. I'll read it to you. The imperfect tense, not completed, has a continuous aspect. When you put the word APO, apo with it, it's a verb of motion, like departing. You know, if you have departed, you're gone. But if you're departing, you're in the process of leaving. We have in our family what we call the Strickland goodbye. Mm-hmm. It goes on for a while. It goes on at the table, then it goes on at the door, then it goes on out to the car, and then it goes on out the driveway. And you must turn back and wave. Must. So it's a continuing That's the continuing fits. And it runs strong in some members of the family.
Or you will be talked about for a long time about how unfriendly you are.
That's right. So, you know, it carries that continuous action. So Jesus said, she's not dead. So he wasn't denying a circumstance. What he was saying is, it's not over.
Yeah,
it's not over. And I love this, you know. So because how could he say that? Because he had the faith of Jairus to work with. Glory to God, who kept his eyes on Jesus. He said, she's not dead, but sleeping, which means, you know, to sleep the sleep of death. But, you know, asleep is a whole lot different than dead and over. You know, did you ever see The Princess Bride, you know? Partly dead. Mostly alive. Mostly dead is partly alive, you know? Okay, so she's not dead. It's not finished. It's not over. You know, when you look at situations where somebody might have told you, you have this, this is this way, you know, but Jesus is saying, it's not over, it's not finished, that's not the final word. You'll never have a baby, that's not the final word. It's not over, it's not finished. Something might be sleeping, but it's not over. You know, and they laughed him all this to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And you know, sometimes you've ever heard something that... a report, a doctor's report, or whatever, and you knew what the word said, but you know, you almost kind of want to, yeah, right, like, you know, this is what's happening in my body. And you almost can have that same little attitude, you know, but because it said knowing that she was dead, and that knowing actually means to see, perceive, know. I mean, they could look and see. And so, you know, they're like smirking at what Jesus said because of what they could see. And, you know, they used the same word, the imperfect tense, but the way they used it, when they laughed, and they said, because they could see, now she is dying today. That's really what they were saying. No, she's dying today. Listen to him. She's dying today. You know, and it's easy for us to have that same mentality that sneak in there sometime. You have this, you know, you're this, you're that. You know, and the Word of God might say you're healed. The Word of God might say you're... But you can go, yeah, but I really have lack here. Or I really have this condition. But is it over? You know, if we go back to the faith of Jairus, you know, it's not over. It doesn't matter what you can see and how you perceive it to be. Jesus was saying, it's not finished. It's not over. And he put them all out, and that's what we have to do. All of those kind of little smirking, snide little thoughts that want to go, you know, put them all out and look at what Jesus said. And he took her by the hand, you know, and I love this because so that you can take Jesus's hand, and he called and said, "Maid, arise." And that arise just really, literally means arouse from the sleep of death. Amen. Recall the dead to life. You know, those things that are in our life, those things that we face, that some report or some feeling or something might tell you that it's done and it's over, it's a done deal, it's dead, it's finished, when Jesus said, no, it's not over. Fear not, only believe. You know, he can take your hand and speak to that situation. We want to hear the Word of God speak to our situation that says, arise, come back from the dead. Wake up. Wake up. You know, and I like to look at some things in my life and say, wait a minute now, wake up. Wake up. It's not finished. Amen. Only believe.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Make no mistake about it. He raised her from the dead. But they said, it's over. It's final. And Jesus said, even though she's dead, it's not over. It's not finished. Glory to God. And it's not just physical healing. That's just one example. I can't tell you, these are some wonderful miracles we have seen in our Christian school where kids, doctors had said, it's over. They've got this disability. They'll never be able to find. And we have seen miracles. I'm talking about those kids' lives totally changed, and they are normal, functioning kids. They were told they'd never have over a third grade education. They graduated with ours from our school. You know, some went on to college, and I mean, just incredible, incredible. Some of them had other mental, emotional problems. Just it works in all areas. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So if you'll just close your eyes, your spiritual eyes, to anything that's not in line with God's Word, and look to Jesus. Look to the Word. Consider Him. Open your eyes to His truths. Fix your attention on the Word. If you'll do that, you'll stay encouraged. You'll grow. You'll stay in faith. You won't want to quit. You won't want to give up. And you'll be a blessed. You'll be blessed yourself, and you'll be a blessing to others. Amen. It's never over as long as you keep believing and keep walking with God. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand up together. Praise God. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you so much. Yeah, she's the English whiz. I was going to get lost in that imperative and perfect tense and past perfect, perfect and all that, you know. Hallelujah. Amen. I said amen. Well, isn't the Lord good? How many of you have had things in your life, whether it was in your family, in your mind, with your health, with your finances, with your job, with your business, with this, that, or the other, that looked dead, but in the end, it was not dead, and you were totally victorious? Wave it around. God's no respecter of persons, is He? Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That which would seem impossible right now, that which looks dead, that which looks like it's not coming to pass, even though you know the Lord told it to you in your own heart, that which is going on in your life right now, I'm saying this to you by the Spirit, that which is going on in your life right now, that the Word of God says is a lie, that doesn't have to stay there, doesn't have to exist, be encouraged, saith the Spirit of grace. Rise up in faith. Rise up in courage. Rise up in boldness. And begin to boldly declare what the Word of God says. Begin to boldly say what God says over you and over your life and over your children, and over your finances and over your family and over your nation and over the politics of this nation. There are things going on in the realm of the Spirit that you cannot see. But you can see the truth of my word that tells you if you pray that your prayers will avail much. Stand on that concerning this nation, concerning this hour. And know that as long as you, my church, are in the world, as long as you are the salt of the earth, as long as you are being salty, as long as you are letting your light shine, then the forces of evil will not take over. They will be pushed back. The kingdom of God will not be thwarted. It will not be stopped. But my will shall be done as long as you are here enforcing my will, using your authority, using the name of Jesus, and using the power of prayer, and using your faith. You will see the glory of God once again shine bright in this nation, regardless of what the devil says and regardless of what his people say. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Say, I believe. My eyes are focused on the truth. Amen. That which seems dead in your life, that you know doesn't have to be because of what the Word of God says, arise! Right now, in the name of Jesus. Behold, be delivered, be well, be free, spirit, soul, and body, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Now refuse to consider anything else and keep your eyes on the truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, please, real quick? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus died, and He paid the price for your sin, for my sin, for the sins of every sinner. But if you don't take what Jesus did, to believe in the biblical sense is to take. You have to take Him as your personal Lord and Savior. So if you haven't taken Him, if you don't know for a fact that He is your Lord and Savior, or if you say, well, I'm here this morning, Pastor, but I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian, but I haven't been walking for God, living for God like I should. You know, I'm like the prodigal of old. I'm what people call backslidden. I need to get back right with God. Well, the Word of God says that if you, as a Christian, would confess your sin, that He would be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So if you want to accept, nobody's looking around, not going to call you to the front. This is between you and God. Just going to ask you to take this one simple step of faith so that God will see your heart. He knows your heart, but so that you can make a statement of faith and so that I can pray for you. If you're here, nobody's looking around. If that's you, you want to be born again, or if you're a Christian and you need to get back in right fellowship with God. If that's you, lift your hand high for me, please. Let me pray for you. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I see it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What I'm going to do is the Spirit of God leads me here. Say, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. I am not who the devil says I am. I repent of my mistakes. God forgives me. So I leave this place totally forgiven. Right with God. In perfect fellowship with Father. Just like Jesus is. According to the Word of God. And I believe the Word. More than that, I believe my feelings. I turn my attention off my feelings and I focus them on Jesus, the Word. I am forgiven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You can look up at me. Go. So glory to God. We love you so much. Isn't that good stuff, Margaret Head? Amen. Isn't that good? Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think it was Brother Copeland I heard say, look, we don't quit playing after 9 innings. If we ain't winning, we just keep playing. It's our ball, it's our bat, it's our field, and God is the umpire. And we just keep playing until we win. Just go with that thought and be blessed. God bless you in Jesus' name.
It's not over. It's not.